Thank you, Eddie. That's good counseling in that song for us, amen? Somebody said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Amen? All right. Thank you for that. Okay, you ready to go in the tape room? Let me explain it before you show it. I read the Lakeland Ledger. We used to call it the Liberal Ledger. Then it got a little better. Then it's now worse. Sold out to the USA News, super liberal paper group. And I don't quite understand this. They have all the liberal articles. They borrow all the editorials from the liberal papers and run them. And all that fake news stuff. And yet, once in a while, I don't know who does the cartoons, but they get the cartoon right. And they got it right today. And we're trying to show it to you in case you didn't read it. And you got it wired up there? See what you can do with it. Gonna work or not? Well, I sure thought the Lord wanted me to show that. Maybe I misinterpreted. Either that or I got some incompetent help up there. I don't know which it is. If you can't do it, say so. Anybody hear a voice? All right, I guess we don't. Okay, I'll tell you about it. Now, I'll tell you, and so you got to use your imagination to see it now. Shut your eyes like this just a little bit. How many of you know what the donkey and the elephant stand for with the political parties? You do know. You do know. Okay. Well, today in the cartoon, they had a donkey. The donkey represents the Democrats, you know that. And the donkey was pushing a manure spreader. I mean, you know, it's got handles on it like a push mower, and it's got a container and little wheels. So he's pushing, distributing the fertilizer. Y'all with me so far? Then the sign on the container where the fertilizer was kept said Coven Fears. Now you got the picture? I wish you could see it, because that is the truth. That is the party that is pushing it. They don't want any good news. And when the president didn't die, that was bad news to them. In fact, he got out so quick, got over it, kind of seems to me like demonstrating to the world it's not the killer they've been trying to say it was. And it does kill somebody once in a while, but it sure does get mislabeled. You've heard me preach about that enough. But people don't seem to believe it. Even God's people still cowering around, afraid. He come out, and I like what he said. Don't let it ruin your life. Go on about your life. And he said, we got good treatments. We, you know. Well, also on the news today, I heard a doctor speaking from the ICU or hospital. And apparently they were getting a lot of calls. Can I get the same medicine the president got? And he was answering, yes, it's available to everybody. Did he get it back? I told you I had incompetent help up there. Super spreader, Coven Fears. Well, I ain't gonna say what the BS might mean. Boy Scouts or whatever. I just guessing. Everybody got it? You're going to see that last in your mind before you go to sleep tonight, right? All right, turn it off. Take it away. Now you can't turn it off. Somebody says, how come you don't have tape music at funerals and weddings? That's the reason. It just sure as I trust it, it gets messed up. If it's electronics, I think the devil gets in it. Amen. All right. Something new going on? I don't trust them. All right, get serious up there. Open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We'll have a little scripture tonight on top of everything else. Amen. Chapter 9, I believe I'm in. The book of Proverbs, short chapter. Same subject. The Lord is telling you to choose His wisdom over the world. And wisdom is personified, sometimes called in the feminine gender, sometimes seems to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Paul told us that the Lord Jesus has made unto us wisdom. And you'll never do any wiser thing than being right with God. And the only way you get right with God is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the ultimate wisdom. In chapter 9, we don't have a lot of verses. Maybe we can kind of move through a little bit. 18 verses here. And it starts off, wisdom hath built her house. So here we have the feminine gender again. Wisdom personified. She hath hewn out her seven pillars, kind of describing what they would, way they'd describe a well-built house in that day, a complete one, seven pillars. She hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. In other words, all the things you'd think about, nice home, well-cooked meal, a woman that is really doing the job right. That's what did you think of here. Wisdom. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, and you got to watch this, it'll throw you the wrong thought now. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Now we've already been warned about the evil woman trapping a young man, and it sounds like almost the same language, but really what it is, it's a comparison between the good woman and the bad woman. The good woman, well-built house, taking care of the household needs, furnishing the food, and saying to the one that may not have so much, the simple, even those that lack understanding, I'll take care of you here. You know, as we make a spiritual application out of it, we ought to understand this. God has everything we need prepared for us, everything. And we're invited to it. We can make a choice to come or not, to go to the right house or the wrong house, to go to the right road or the wrong road, to be deceived or in wisdom go to the Lord, who will not deceive us but receive us and give us everything we need. Now, as you kind of look at the big picture of the Proverbs, I told you before, it has to do with helping us have the right relationship with others, and also, of course, that relationship includes male, female, marriage, one of the biggest things, right relationship. And it tells us how to guide our walk through this old minefield, this old world. The devil has planted minefields everywhere for us, tricks to deceive us, devices, everywhere we look. And so if we go by God, God's given us a book of wisdom here in the Proverbs, and it's down to where you understand it. I was reading some stuff today, high-tech stuff, and then every now and then they'd have to drop down and say, now that means this. I mean, the language, you couldn't hardly get it until finally they kind of put it in perspective. That's the way a lot of legislation's written. A lot of medical stuff is written that way. And you, in other areas, and you finally kind of get the idea they really don't want me to know. It's a camouflage of words that spread all around to deceive you. Boy, we live in a time of deception, don't we? But the Proverbs will guide you through this old world. And more than anything else, it'll help you walk right with God, come to God and walk with God, and let Him direct you. So in these first six verses here, if you're not careful, you could interpret another evil woman trying to trap a young man. No. I think this is the good side. But now we're going to cross the street here in just a little bit to the other side. And it says some things here. It's a little bit, again, got a twist on them. It says in verse 7 here, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. Now, that seems to contradict the Bible, because in other places we are told to reprove and to rebuke. In fact, though, this is telling you reality, what may happen to you when you try to help and correct somebody that's an idiot. It'll probably bounce back on you. You've probably had that experience if you've ever tried to help somebody much. It says, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, get embarrassed over it. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Yet in his other places in the Bible, it does tell us to rebuke. For instance, this is talking about the consequences of it. John the Baptist rebuked Herod, cost him his head, didn't it? You know, he still did right. And now, after all these eons of time, I sure rather be John the Baptist than Herod, hadn't you? I mean, it is true. A reality, we Christians, we're not supposed to hide you know, just be a Pollyanna, everything's going to work out with a beautiful sunny day. No. Sometime you do right, it costs you. It will bounce back and bite you. And that's what these verses here are basically saying to us. He that reproveth a scorner, rebuketh a wicked man, getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Now, if you don't want the consequences, he said, leave him alone. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. That's the opposite. That's the opposite. Anybody that's been a pastor very long can sure tell you about these things right here. No doubt about it. Think about it. A wise man will love you for it. You know, the Bible talks about faithful are the rebukes of a friend or the wounds of a friend. Sometimes I think it is proper in the right place and the right time to give a constructive criticism. But you have to be careful in that area if it's really that. If it's really that. Got to watch out. I've often said this, gossip sometimes starts disguised as a prayer request. You ever notice that? So-and-so needs a lot of prayer. Well, the next question is why? And then I tell you why, now I'm gossiping. See how you know the devil uses something good sometime to start off with, and the whole thing's got a plot and a plan behind it, the trick. And we all fall for that if we're not real careful. Reprove a scorner, he'll hate you. A wise man will love you. Verse 9, give instructions to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Well, that's something you can prove out all the time, right? Somebody said a smart man is one that knows he don't know everything and that he has got some stuff to learn. The fellow that's in a mess is the one thinks he already knows it all. Somebody's made the statement, I'd like to buy that guy for what he's really worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. Big difference, amen? And that's what he's talking about, kind of where the tire meets the road here. Help a wise man, share something with him, he'll be wiser. If he says, teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Now, I suspect some day school teachers could give testimony concerning these verses. Human nature. The Bible doesn't cover up human nature. It exposes human nature. Tells you the truth on it. And says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, that is, you know, we understand it, we say it, we quote it. You can't really be wise until you know the Lord. We could all give testimony about what we thought we knew before we got saved and how it looks now. It's a whole different world, a whole different experience. I often think about it because I'm still pastoring in the town where I grew up, where I rode my bicycle and done good and bad around this town that I'm still reminded of as I drive around from time to time. I told the teachers tonight at the teachers' meeting about probably the most I ever went to church one time was at First Baptist Church in this town when they had Vacation Bible School. And some neighbor cared enough to stop and pick me up. And I got very excited because they had arts and crafts. Didn't care about the art, but I cared about the crafts. And down in the cellar, the old building's still standing. Down in the cellar, they had a few of us kids in there in Vacation Bible School. Y'all remember those ice cream sticks? You could build anything out of them. They had a coping saw. All I had at home was a broke hacksaw. I remember that. And I wanted to build a little boat. And somehow or another, I got some material together with that coping saw, and I was building me a boat in Vacation Bible School down in the cellar, and I was excited, but we ran out of time. And it wasn't finished. And we're going to have graduation on Friday night. I was telling the teachers a while ago, I got my dad to drive the old fruit truck up there and take me to my Vacation Bible School graduation, probably on a Friday night. And I was so thrilled. I say to you Sunday school teachers, work with your kids about getting their parents to church. Not only parents to hear the gospel, it's a big thing to the kids. That was a big thing to me that night. But anyway, I didn't get my boat finished and Vacation Bible School was up. So mother worked at night a lot and take a nap in the daytime, and I caught her napping and I walked all the way. Brother Condon, where are you at? Your grandpa's house over in Lake Tracy. That's where we were living. I walked all the way up there to the First Baptist building. Probably ran. I doubt I walked. And it was closed up. Vacation Bible School happened that morning. We're talking about afternoon. I think the statute of limitations is out on this. But I found a window I got open. And I climbed in the cellar all by myself and found my boat and that coping saw and hammer or whatever. And I went to work on it. So what was you going to do if you finished it? Go back out the same window. And it was a pretty tall window, too. You go over and look at it right now. But just as I was getting into it good, the door opened. And a big old fat preacher like me walked in, like I am now. Scared me to death, but he heard me down there. I think he thought he had a big rat down there. He was kind to me. Told me to leave, and I did, but he was kind to me. Brother Weeby asked me, did I finish the boat? I don't know. I may yet have to go back and finish that thing, but I can't remember about the boat so much no more. But... It was a big deal. It was a big deal to me to get my dad to come. It was a big deal. And I'll say again to the teachers, it's a big deal. Now, we're talking about a wise man. That preacher was wise. He could have really scared me bad. But I came back for graduation and was able to do that. And the truth of the matter is that you'll never have wisdom until you know the Lord in the right way. And the fear of the Lord, somebody says, don't tell the kids to fear God. No, there's a right kind of fear. that kids ought to fear. There's a sense that a kid can fear daddy and still love daddy, right? And so it is with God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now you think back before you got saved, how many questions you had that you know the answer to now. You think about that. I had all kind of questions when I got saved at 22 years old. And I didn't know the Bible had them all. I had some deep questions. Nobody had answered them. My school teachers hadn't answered them. I mean, I asked the question, what am I doing here? Who am I? Where did I come from? The biggest question is, where am I going? You know, we all have those questions. You won't get those out of the history book or the science book. You only get them out of God's book. And that's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we need to understand that. And the knowledge is understanding. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. And then here's a promise goes with it. Verse 11. God said why it's important to know him. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. As I said a while ago, I can ride around town and think about my friends, and most of them's already passed on and gone. Some left, but big majority of them's gone. I passed a certain building where somebody lived, or a certain incident that happened over here, and I think this question, why am I still here and they're gone? All right, there's only one answer for that. That's God. That's God. And that's what he's saying right here. He's plainly saying, for by me thy days shall be multiplied. They'll come to an end. I had somebody scared to death over the COVID and talking to me, and I said, you do know you're going to die, don't you? In fact, I've said that to two or three. You can't stop yourself from dying. You are going to die. If the rapture don't take place, you are going to die. What you can do is be ready to die. That's the part you've got some control over. And having the right relationship to the Lord, fear of the Lord is wisdom. Beginning of wisdom, it'll grow. It'll be more than just the beginning. It'll keep growing and growing. Then he says in verse 12, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. Now, what's that saying? It's saying that being wise in the Lord, that's good advice for yourself. That's wisdom that helps you. Helps you. Wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. In other words, suffer the consequences of it. Scorn God? Oh, yeah, and I hate to say it, but I know we all know people that are trying their best to tell God, this is my life, keep your hands off of it. They wouldn't maybe say it that plain, but by action they are saying it. They are saying it. They are scorning the Lord. Just let me alone, I can do it. Oh, you're going to wind up in the ditch one day. It may be when the doctor says it's cancer. It may be when you have a split up home and a divorce or something else, or the kids, something else. 100 things can happen, but you better recognize it goes better with God. It does rain on the just and unjust alike, and bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. You can't judge it all right now. The game's not over yet. The final score's not in. But these are some advice here that's helpful. Said, if you're wise, that wisdom will help you. Be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. You'll suffer those consequences. Now we're going to switch back. We started off with a good woman that did her house well. Now we're going to the foolish woman. Verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. I can think of a few I could put on that. That title would fit, but anyway, some in Washington, amen. Anyway, verse 13. Verse 14, for she setteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city, right out in the public. to call passengers who go right on their ways. They don't pay much attention, most of them. Whoso is simple, let him turn in thither. Now, there's a rescue for the simple in the first few verses, but here's a disaster for them. Whoso is simple, not smart enough not to, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Boy, that's the lie of crime, isn't it? That's the devil's trick to get young people to try something. It used to be the saying, you know, that a watermelon tastes better if it was stolen. I don't know about that, but yeah, I got in some gangs trying to steal watermelons a few times. Mainly, I stole one from my uncle, and I cut it too soon, and he found it. I wasted the melon. That was not fun. I was fairly young then, for sure. I know some boys. There was a railroad cars coming through Haines City, same old railroad track right in the middle of town. And the word got around, they had watermelons on those cars. So that night, the boys slipped down there, and they couldn't get the door open, so they cut some through the slats and got them a piece of watermelon, and they got caught. Oh, that was bad. Then there was a farmer up Highway 27 when the road was going through, knew it went through his farm, and he had a big watermelon patch. I was probably in about the 8th or 9th grade. And some boys went up there, but the farmer was smarter than they thought he was. He was out in the bushes with a shotgun. Truth. And he didn't have no mercy on them. Except for one thing. He didn't have deer shot, bug shot in it. He had bird shot in it. And the difference is in the size of the pellets. You know that, don't you? But there's a lot more of the bird shot in a shotgun shell. How many of you know that? That's science. He cut out on them boys and them running, but obviously they were running because of where he hit them. And from about the bottom to the top of their head was birdshot. Lots of birdshot. And of course they went to the doctor. Parents took them to the doctor. And the doctor plucked a lot of birdshot out of them. But every birdshot left its own little black spot right where it had been for several days. They had to shave their heads because it was all up in their hair. You're going to talk about a messed up looking kids. I mean, man, that was something to see. Looked like somebody sprinkled them with black pepper all over. Now, let me tell you the difference in then and now. You know, now that farmer would have been sued. Now it was a joke in the town. And you know how the principal was, Brother Bert? They said, we're staying home. He said, you're not staying home. He said, you're coming to school and everybody's going to see you. And he made them do it. And the parents agreed. So they were spectacles walking around every day. The black pepper crowd. Peppered with birdshot. The truth of the matter, that melon didn't taste near as sweet. Stolen tastes better? Not necessarily. And that's what sin always tells you. Nobody knows it. Oh, that's a big deal. Somebody knows it. And he may just decide to put his finger on you like he did those boys with the birdshot. You don't know. Oh, I was a youth leader before I became a pastor, and as a pastor through the years, I've seen some fellows thought they were going to get away with something, wish they had never tried it. The consequences was terrible. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not, the one that does that, knoweth not that the dead are there. And that her guests, dead's guests, are in the depths of hell. What a conclusion. What a conclusion. So much better to go the Lord's way. Follow his road, his word, instead of going the other way and believing the lies of the devil. I challenge you tonight to think about it. after we get saved, there's something we ought to think about. God left us here for a purpose, to live a life that would be pleasing to Him and to guide somebody else to find the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior also. So it does matter how you live after you're saved. It matters in God's eyes, and it matters in the consequences of this whole life down here and the rules and struggles of life that we have to go by. Tonight, I'm going to give a short invitation, and maybe God's asked you to do something. Maybe you've just said, Lord, I've been going my way. I want to go yours. I want to turn back. I want to follow your word. I want to have that wisdom that the book of Proverbs promises me I can have. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed. Just a moment. We'll ask Brother Bert to lead us in just a course. And if God's spoken to you about coming, now's the time to do it. All right. All right, as we sing, will you come?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the